views expressed on ExoPolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is ExoPolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. ExoPolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions of Phoenix, Arizona, and can be heard worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which remain free and open as a service to the public 24/7, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. ExoPolitics Radio is a listener-sponsored station, and we also share with you how you can help contribute to keep ExoPolitics Radio on the air. ExoPolitics Radio is broadcast weekly on Mondays at 9 p.m. Central Time on UPRN 105.8 FM New Orleans. Our online affiliates include Paranormal Radio Network, Revere Radio Network, Kansas City Online Radio Network, and we are heard in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the world, including all 50 states in the USA and, of course, Canada. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Today, we have a feature interview with Jeff Peckman, who's the chief proponent and founder of the Extra Campaign for a ballot initiative in Denver, Colorado, to establish an extraterrestrial commission for the city of Denver, which is an excellent example of citizen-driven extraterrestrial disclosure, and finally, citizen-driven through the ballot initiative, creating at the municipal level, controlled and responsive to the citizenry through the voting mechanism, a governmental body that will be setting standards so that we can begin to understand what galactic standards are and what galactic behavior is, and what it means to be a civilization in the galaxy, and what sort of standards our civilization will have to meet in order to be accepted in the galaxy. And we'll be addressing these issues with Jeff Peckman later on in the program in our feature interview. And so first, in our official ExoPolitics Radio commentary, we would like to address this issue that we've gotten through a number of different sources. As you know, we've been covering the 2008 disclosure management issue, one of which fronts has been at the United Nations, where there were reported meetings at the United Nations starting in February of 2008. And now I've gotten through various sources, reports and new information. I'm going to read first from Dr. Michael Sala, our ExoPolitics Radio commentator, describes as a reliable source on the Open Minds Forum. Quote, just received new information about current threats to United Nations members, which have been of a violent nature, and anyone else involved will be dealt with. The U.S., the NSA, National Security Agency, and various diplomatic agents have been the people doing these threats against U.N. members, presumably diplomats of U.S. U.N. member states. The reason for this is the protection of information of a sensitive nature that has been collected through contact with extraterrestrials. This information goes beyond just extraterrestrials, UFOs, and spacecraft. What I've been told is that there are weapons that go beyond my understanding that the USA wants to keep away from any possible disclosure. Another reason is that the USA does not want to disclose their programs that parts of the U.S. military are involved with the grays and the tall whites. These programs involve abductions and collection of reproductive products from humans, DNA and genes. The programs continue in, quote, creation of life in artificial environments, cloning, manipulation of DNA and genes. Think the worst. Don't ask me questions because I simply can't answer them. Now, of course, this is just a post on the Open Minds Forum, and so it's not verified. However, I would like to say that through an extremely reliable source, I was having a conversation in Europe with a gentleman who has met 3 times with a United Nations diplomat from a member nation, and I cannot reveal the name of the member nation, and so it must remain confidential at this time. And that member nation, that diplomat from the member nation, confirmed that threats are now being made at the United Nations by the United States and its agents against UN members to intimidate them from making any sort of disclosure of the nature described here, and that is the programs that the U.S. has been, its secret extraterrestrial human liaison programs that the grays and the tall whites, which have involved abduction and collection of reproduction products from the humans' DNA and genes, and which have included creation of life in artificial environments, cloning, and manipulation of DNA, and which also have included the weaponization of space and advanced weaponry from the ETs. And this is exactly what we ran into in the proposed 1977 Carter White House extraterrestrial communication study, of which I was a director when I was a futurist at Stanford Research Institute in 1977. And that is that program was shut down by the Department of Defense, not because it did not want people to know about extraterrestrials, but because it did not want to know people, the public, to know about its secret liaison programs with a specific type of extraterrestrial over which it wanted a monopoly for weaponization and for these other purposes. So all of this information is now starting to go public, and I can now confirm here on the air on Exopolitics Radio as a journalistic outlet what the reliable poster in Open Minds Forum stated, and we'll have his post at www.exopolitics.com, and that is that a member diplomat of a UN member nation has confirmed to an associate of ourselves, with whom he has met 3 times, that the United States and its diplomatic representatives are at this time engaging in threats of violence against UN member nation diplomats so as to forestall them from doing any sort of extraterrestrial disclosure, including disclosure which would show that the United States is engaging in the weaponization of space and in advanced weaponry from extraterrestrials, a specific brand of extraterrestrials, the grays and perhaps the tall whites with whom they have treaties or agreements, and that they're involved in abductions and a genetic outreach program which violate human rights and the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights and numerous constitutional orders of all the member states. And that is what the United States of America is desperately trying to cover up at this time. Listeners to Exopolitics Radio may recall when Jim Sparks, author of The Keepers, who has spent 18 years in continuous abduction by the small grays, he was vetted by competent scholars like John Mack and Linda Moulton Howe, was a guest here on this program. I was asked to review Jim Sparks' a book, and this is the review that I gave. Jim Sparks, The Keepers, is vetted by competent scholars like John Mack and Linda Moten Howe and reads like the anthropology field notes of a great discoverer. The Keepers documents Sparks' unique recall of an extraterrestrial civilization's human genetic farming and educational outreach, a.k.a. abduction programs, as well as Sparks' first-hand witnessing of time travel teleportation technology, originally meant to solve humanity's urgent environmental problems, apparently transferred by the same ETs to the U.S. government, which has misused it for military political purposes. Speaking through the Keepers, the ETs give us an important public policy message. Public disclosure and sharing in this vital ET technology can come about through a South Africa-style truth amnesty process, covering the criminal acts accompanying the 60-year public embargo of this ET technology. The Keepers is a work of importance to exopolitics and to our human future. Thus, we are making here today on Exopolitics Radio a journalistic breakthrough, and that is that we have announced today on Exopolitics Radio that a member of the diplomatic corps of the United Nations, a member nation, has confirmed to us that threats are being carried out by the United States diplomatic corps and by its agents against United Nations diplomatic missions in order to chill and to forestall their releasing any extraterrestrial disclosure which would reveal the extent of the U.S. weaponization of space and its outreach into abductions and into genetic manipulation through its secret ET programs, which would forestall any disclosure by member states of the ethical and peaceful outreach of the extraterrestrial, advanced, ultra-dimensional extraterrestrial presence on the planet at this time. This is Exopolitics Radio. Please stay tuned for our feature interview with Jeff Peckman, chief proponent of the Extra Campaign ballot initiative for an extraterrestrial commission for Denver, Colorado. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a very special program with a very special guest, Mr. Jeff Peckman, who is the chief proponent and founder of the Extra Campaign, of which we are all members and supporters here at Exopolitics Radio. And the Extra Campaign, of course, is for a ballot initiative in the city of Denver, Colorado, for an extraterrestrial affairs commission. And before we get too far into it, I want to welcome Jeff onto the program. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Alfred. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Now, we were commenting prior to the program that, according to author Barbara Han Clow, of course, we're in the galactic underworld phase. It's only 12.6 years, the next to the final phase of the Mayan calendar. So it's perfect that today that the Institute for Galactic Culture was formed. And today is the birthday of a very special gentleman, today, August 23rd, 2008. And I wondered if you could help us celebrate and acknowledge his birthday.
Yes, and I might add that the Institute for the Study of Galactic Cultures probably was officially formed before, but I think for our purposes tonight is being formed in the consciousness of all the listeners. And the president of that organization, that new organization, is Dr. Maury Albertson, and his 90th birthday is being celebrated on this August 23rd, and he was the co-developer of the Peace Corps, along with Sergeant Shriver, and he's a very respected scientist. He was, I believe, vice president of research at the at Colorado State University. And there's, I believe, even right during this week, a national convention of the Peace Corps, and a lot is being done to honor him. And so you see that these great visionaries who have been around for decades are now on board to expand their vision and to enrich our vision with the understanding that there are extraterrestrial cultures that we should acknowledge and respect and get acquainted with.
Well, also, we were saying that galactic culture, the Institute for Galactic Culture, and galactic culture itself is something that the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission that the Denver Ballot Initiative would bring into being addresses. And that is that, just reading here from the commission statement, if our listeners want to go online, you can go to www.extracampaign.org, which I urge you to do. And it says, shall the voters for the city and county of Denver adopt an initiated ordinance to require the creation of an extraterrestrial affairs commission to ensure the health, safety, and cultural awareness of Denver residents and visitors in relation to potential encounters and interactions with extraterrestrial intelligent beings or their vehicles, etc. And so this is a way of citizens using the ballot initiative, which is a way that citizens can empower the municipal government to, in fact, use the governmental powers to begin, as you said, to find out exactly what galactic cultures are and begin to develop, Earth sense of what we should be doing to become a galactic culture or galactic culture sensitive. Is that one of your purposes, or do you see that?
Yes, it certainly is. And you had mentioned just before getting on about, you know, that we want to raise, that this initiative is going to try to help raise the, help our human population to rise to the standard that's necessary to be accepted into that family of galactic cultures. And of course, first of all, we need to know what that standard is, where we are on the scale, and what we can do to move forward or upward or inward, whatever it takes, to be ready for this kind of interaction, to provide that kind of respect, to be accommodating to this whole new vision of possibilities that's going to rise up in front of us very quickly. And so, yes, this commission is really a very simple commission. It will gather the best available credible evidence of the existence of these extraterrestrial beings and their vehicles, or however they show up here. And then it'll share that information with the public and with various city departments. It will be funded by grants, gifts, and donations. There'll be some meetings. There'll be interactions with the community. And really, it'll be a more formal way to start asking and finding the answers to the very important questions that are going to arise as we face this reality.
Now, just to start, just in a very practical, feet-on-the-ground sort of way, and I don't know whether we're asking something that cannot be said on the air, or we're asking improper questions, or questions the answers for which yet cannot be told. But can you share with us? I know that, just reading here again on the website, it says that you're, quote, committed to collecting at least 4,000 valid signatures from Denver's registered voters to get Initiative 2008-01 on the ballot in May 2009. And can you give a count today, August 23rd, 2008, as to how many valid signatures you have so far?
I wish I could. Being that this is a grassroots campaign with volunteers out collecting signatures, the nature of this kind of campaign is people don't really keep in touch on a regular basis.
You know,
they're out there doing their thing. They're collecting signatures here and there. They carry it with them. People they run into, sometimes they show up at events. We've made a significant dent in that number, but our prime signature collecting period will be during September, October, and November, when there will be a lot of political events going on. We know that the people attending these events are registered Denver voters, and that's very key to this, because only registered Denver voters can sign this petition.
Right.
And so we have 3 months and better weather. You know, there were a lot of things going on this summer, but for about 6 weeks it was around 100 degrees. And, you know, that's just not a real encouraging environment. Wow. So we're doing okay, and we're getting on board a couple people that have do this professionally. They know how to collect signatures as long as the issue agrees with them, and they're very excited about this. We can always use donations to the campaign to help pay these people, and we'd like to pay people for doing something this important. But that's kind of where we're at. I don't exactly know. I send out a message once in a while and say, all right, how many signatures do you all have? And very often I don't really hear much back. So I know it's happening. Yeah. We're very determined to make that goal, because a lot will happen as a result of that that will just go away as an opportunity if we don't meet that goal.
Yeah, and just from an objective standpoint, it would seem that 4,000 signatures is not an insurmountable goal.
No, it isn't at all. But in Denver especially, if you go to any kind of cultural event, any festivity, the vast majority of the people are not from Denver. And so you really need to find those targeted groups.
Oh, I see. So it's just a technical thing. I can recall several years back, we had a petition drive here in Vancouver to keep U.S. missile defense out of Canada, and we had to get a parliamentary petition. Now, all that you had to be was a resident of Canada, and we were able to get about that number of signatures by going to, you know, events like the Folk Festival and things like that. But I can see how a registered voter might be stricter.
It's true. And very often people will, because they are in Denver, if you ask them if they are a registered voter in Denver, they say yes, and then they write down a different city.
I see.
You know, your eyes roll back a little bit, and then you just move on. It's just the practicality of it. But, you know, one issue about this is that it is an important issue,
And
it's not entirely familiar to people. Because they've been denied so much information. So it does take a little bit more explaining than your average, child labor law petition or something like that.
Yeah, you could go door-to-door, though.
That's true, and I think probably people will. There's a lot of different ways. There's probably more than 4,000 ways to collect 4,000 signatures.
Exactly.
So we just have to get focused after the convention, and that will be my entire focus.
Now, having addressed that issue, which is sort of the practical down-to-earth, as we say, let's go to the other end of the spectrum, kind of the more cosmic and global issues, because I think, Jeff, that in you and the city of Denver creating this opportunity really for all of us, you really illustrated the conundrum that planet Earth is in at the moment, and that is that if we go back to the 60-odd years since World War II, there's a vast body of evidence which you've gathered here on the website showing that we have a very substantial extraterrestrial presence on Earth in the near-Earth environment, and that many people have shown that there's a $1.5 trillion U.S. black budget, a substantial portion of which may be devoted in relation to the extraterrestrial presence. So that's a tremendous amount of brain power and capital outlay already devoted to the extraterrestrial issue in a kind of a covert way. And yet it's taken the extra campaign in 2008, 60 years after the fact, since 1947, if my math is correct, it may not be, to really bring about a locally based, citizen-based, through the process of law, initiative that will form a governmental body that will begin to develop standards for some sort of extraterrestrial civic process. You know, so this is really a citizen-driven disclosure management process. I mean, functionally, it's turning out to be that. And I wondered if you could comment on it from that perspective.
Yes, and I agree that certainly is the intent. I have to admit, I'm not a UFO expert. I'm not a scholar of extraterrestrial cultures, but I do know how to do a ballot initiative. And what I've observed in the past is that it's a very powerful thing. It has a lot of leverage because it taps into really the highest power of government in the United States anyway. Former President James Madison in the Federalist Papers, he spoke about this as, he said, the people are the only legitimate fountain of power from which all the other powers of government are derived. And what I felt was missing was that a lot of effort was going into trying to convince the president and the members of Congress to do this and that with disclosure, but they really are our public servants. And even though they have very high offices, they are not the source of power itself in our government. We, the people, are. And so this ballot initiative process is what allows the citizens of the people, by the people, for the people kind of government to allow the people to bring an issue forward to the people and to tap into that power, that highest governmental power, and get certain things done that just won't happen otherwise. It comes down to that. And what is very encouraging to me is that when people have information, knowledge is empowering, but when they're put in the role of becoming a lawmaker in that instant that they vote on such an issue, yes or no, to me it doesn't even really matter if they say yes to this initiative. If they have been given a great deal of information about the UFO, extraterrestrial reality, what they will do is they'll deliberate on that in a very thoughtful way, more than I think a lot of our elected officials do, and then they'll make their decision. And that in itself is a good enough reason to do this ballot initiative, because they're making a conscious decision, taking responsibility for themselves, for their planet, for the entire universe. You know, is this a good thing to do? And so one very interesting side benefit is that classrooms all around the community, and this will happen all around the United States as well, classrooms will pick this initiative as something to study in their political science class, in their social studies class. They'll pick this issue, they'll divide into groups, they'll debate for and against, they'll hold a mock election, and at the end of that time, they will become remarkable experts. They'll be able to do interviews on your show, and you'll be astounded at how much, at the depth of their knowledge and the comprehensive understanding that they have about this issue. And that is another good reason to do a ballot initiative. It just always happens with this kind of innovative issue.
Well, now, say, just to kind of walk through the process, it says we'll collect at least 4,000 ballot signatures from Denver's registered voters to get the initiative on the ballot in May 2009. So let's say that you get 6,000 ballot signatures. Could you walk us through the process of you go and you turn those signatures in and they're vetted and they pass? What happens after that?
By collecting the signatures, enough valid signatures to meet the requirement, then the issue automatically goes on the next available ballot, which will be May 2009. So then between November, when we have to turn in the signatures, and the election in May, that 6-month period becomes the voter education period. That's where we're really promoting the yes vote. We're educating people about the importance of this issue. We're getting the information out through whatever means we can to basically give a briefing to each and every voter in Denver. And then in May, they will decide, yes, we should have this commission. It's a good idea. Or no, it's not necessary.
Now, from your experience, and I should say that to the listeners, if you go to www.extracampaign.org, there's a lot of different features, and one is news and updates, and there's a little humor section there, too. And there are quite a few articles and other things, but you've had quite a few innovative initiatives of different sorts, including one for peacefulness, which I thought was a very, very compelling concept. Over the years, how have the people of Denver generally behaved or voted for initiatives of this sort?
Well, the only other initiative that you could put in that category of this sort would be that peace initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And we got about 32%, which was higher than any of the political experts thought that we would get. Toward near to the campaign, a couple of them thought that it might actually pass.
Mm-hmm.
There was just so much discussion about it. One local Denver newspaper, on their front page, their article said it had not only become the talk of the town, but the talk of the nation.
Wow.
And that ballot initiative was the last news event that was covered by American reporter Dan Rather on CBS Evening News on election night. And I had been interviewed about 2 months before the election, so they saved it. It was got to be such an interesting story. They saved it till right at the very end of the news on election night. And that also created that situation where people were studying this. You know, some people would just dismiss it right away because they didn't really know what it was. They were going by misquoted information in the newspapers or by city officials, and they didn't understand the basic concept, which was that stress can build up in a community just like it can build up in a person, mm-hmm. as if everybody's contributing, like air pollution, and then everybody's affected by that. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways to reduce that collective stress within a community, and when you do that, then you see all stress-related disorders and trends in society decreasing simultaneously, and certainly that includes public safety issues. So there was a lot of support from different sectors, and we did well. It stimulated a lot of conversation, and one classroom teacher from the state of Nebraska emailed me and said, you know what, my classroom was studying this throughout the campaign, and we were trying to come up with our own ideas on how to reduce stress in the community. So you see, it becomes a very organic education modality so that people just start discussing it, and everywhere people are talking about it, and it doesn't matter what they say, but at least they're engaged and they're thinking in a different way than they're used to. So I think we'll do okay with this one, because with the poll, and that was a very new concept to most people. There was really not any familiarity with that concept. Now you look at the UFO extraterrestrial concept, and you see that especially after Dr. Edgar Mitchell made his presentation in England, and you know, same thing he's been saying for 10 years, but all of a sudden the media picked up on it. AOL News did a poll and asked how many people, you know, do you believe that life exists elsewhere in the universe? And out of over 135,000 online voters, 93% said they believed life exists in the universe, and 81% said they believed extraterrestrials have visited Earth. Those are very high percentages. So we feel that we will tap into that familiarity and that it will pass and it will just set a whole new trend. Hopefully will spread around the world.
Now, the Democratic National Convention's opening Monday, and I understand you have some events planned for that.
Well, I thought I did. It turns out that the campus that's across the street from the convention facilities is entirely closed. Not even students and staff can get on the campus. So that's where we normally have our events. I'm looking for another room for a press conference, but even today or this week, I will have sent out one, maybe two press releases just to raise a couple of issues for the people that are here for the convention to try to incorporate into the Democratic platform the kinds of issues that, for example, the Disclosure Project is trying to accomplish, having open congressional hearings, you know, and open discussion into these free energy and advanced clean energy technologies of extraterrestrial origin. So that will be one of the things. I've offered Senator Obama an opportunity to get briefed on the UFO extraterrestrial issue.
Excellent.
Because he'll probably get better information, as you know, from the private sector, from people like me and you and, you know, just regular people on the street than he would from the intelligence agencies and government.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll just throw out a few things and see what sticks, what can generate some interest.
Right. Well, there's a great deal of talk in the exopolitics community now about the recent Stephenville sightings and the MUFON radar report with 2.8 million radar returns, so that there's now an independent radar signature that a craft about a mile wide, some people say as large as a Walmart, 500 feet wide or 1,000 feet wide.
Alfred, I have to tell you, I've heard that actually it was a Walmart store.
Oh, I see.
It's part of a secret government project to drop Walmart stores in Afghanistan and ruin the local economy. Something like that's going on. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No. This particular flying Walmart store buzzed the Texas White House. Now, there are different scenarios. There are at least three different models that I have seen in print as to what this all might mean, that range from, oh, it's an extraterrestrial craft, and, oh, it's an extraterrestrial craft, and the Secret Service was told to stand down, and the FAA released the radar report for the first time in history because of a high-level interagency intelligence committee, and then there's another view that says it's really a false flag operation using what they call ARV, alien reproduction craft, you know, kind of a psyops. And then there's a fourth view that says, no, it's a real extraterrestrial craft, but they're using treaty ETs. And they're using treaty ETs that are under agreement with the secret government and part of an elaborate psyops with U.S. Naval Intelligence and the U.K., you know, Ministry of Defense to kind of perpetuate a kind of a New World Order global government type of a thing. Mm. So there are all these models trying to figure this out. And I'm wondering, in terms of the discourse that you present to the Denver public, how do you present this in all of its complexity? Is it kind of just a, look, here is a clear presence, and here's a clear need for public safety, and there's a compelling need now that we have 2.8 million radar returns showing that there's a flying Walmart over the Texas White House.
I have the easiest job, Alfred. I'm creating the forum so that those questions can be asked by everybody.
I see.
And that the discussion will start up, and so it will move quickly beyond the debate as to whether or not UFOs and these beings are from off planet to all the other questions once you accept, okay, it's for real. You know, Roswell was an alien craft crashing or whatever it was. There were extraterrestrial beings. All right, we agree. We all finally agree that it's real. Now, next set of questions. And that's really, I think, the role of this ballot initiative is to create that forum so that anybody who has something to say will have an attentive audience. And then let the debates begin.
Okay, now, our listeners, Exopolitics Radio, we're very committed people. What can we do to help the Denver Ballot Initiative and the Extra Campaign?
Well, for any of the audience that lives in a town or a city that has ballot initiative rights, I would encourage you to explore what you might need to do locally. You can use the language of my ballot initiative if you like, or you could just kind of wait and see what happens in Denver in the meantime. The other thing is that the signatures, that really is the crucial element now. We need to have, you know, not a lot of money, $6,000 or $7,000, to collect about 6,000 or 7,000 signatures in order to have enough good ones. We've got maybe, you know, 20% of that amount that's been donated. But little donations, $5, $10, you know, even that can add up, can pay to get this thing done, because without the signatures, the whole thing just goes dead, and then people move on to a different topic. But if we get those signatures in, then all of a sudden it becomes real, and all of the media attention that's happened so far normally does not happen until you turn your signatures in. So the fact that so much has happened already means that once we get the signatures in, it's going to be 10 times more interest. And at a time when there isn't a lot of other things going on politically, like the campaign in November, I mean, the election has already 19 other ballot initiatives and referenda, you know. In the spring, there'll probably just be this ballot initiative. So I would say start up something on your own. In the meantime, please support this one as a precedent. Send a donation through theextracampaign.org. And get briefed about this information. Stay up to date. I'll try to keep the website updated with new information, new angles, ways to educate the population about this issue.
Well, thank you very, very much. And I hope that we can have you on later, in fact, to celebrate the successful gathering and filing of the signatures. And you can come back and report on the progress for the successful establishment of the Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission of Denver, Colorado.
I'd be happy to, and that'll probably be about mid-November when we turn in the signatures with your help.
Excellent, excellent. We've been with Jeff Peckman, who's the chief proponent and the founder of the Extra Campaign for the Ballot Initiative of the City of Denver, Colorado, to establish an Extraterrestrial Affairs Commission. You can go to their website at www.extracampaign.org, which I urge you to do so. It's an excellent resource, by the way, for up-to-the-minute news and information with regard to the extraterrestrial presence. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
This transmission is coming to you approximately halfway between the moon and the earth.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. You know, during the break, our stellar artistic director and I, RV Romero, had our customary powwow. And it really does seem that all of what has been hidden over the last 60 years is now being revealed. And it's being revealed in an extraordinary way. We have UN diplomats that are coming forward to confirm that the U.S. is intimidating diplomats at the U.N. to hide its genetic farming program, to hide its weaponization program that it has conducted through its extraterrestrial human liaison programs with specific brands of extraterrestrials. We have extraterrestrial contactees like Jim Sparks, who come forward to say that the extraterrestrials themselves are saying that the U.S. military has not abided with the agreements. So it does seem like there is a group of elites on the planet which have resources and networks of armed forces which are mobilizing, the permanent war economy through the dialectic of enemies and trying to essentially destroy the biosphere through space-based weapons of mass destruction like HAARP and chemtrails, which have, you know, used all of the elemental technology that they've been able to gather from the extraterrestrials. And all of this is coming out now, as we're in what author Barbara Han Clow calls the galactic underworld period, a 12.6-year period that stretches from 1999 till January of 2001. Incidentally, her book, The Mayan Code Now, integrates our book, Exopolitics, Politics, Government, and Law in the Universe, into the Mayan calendar. So there's an integration in this acceleration of time in the final countdown toward either October 28, 2011, or the formal long count of December 21st, 2012. But all of this is now becoming more and more transparent. And in the midst of this comes the operation of law and constitution through citizen-driven action in the form of the extra campaign for a ballot initiative where voters can sign registration, put a ballot initiative on a ballot, can vote for it, and can actually establish a commission if they so wish. The people of Denver, Colorado have that free will to establish a commission to begin to bring the United States into galactic and then universal standards. So we'll see whether the United States, the people of the United States, begin to exercise their collective free wills to do so after 60 years of their City of London, U.S. military, anti-upper dimensional, anti-galactic Federation, anti-universe society occupation. This is Exopolitics Radio, which is produced by Phoenix Productions, which is at www.phoenixproductions.com. Director R.V. Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and extra openness day, week, and life. Thank you.